You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
God isn't fixing it. That was the provocative headline on Thursday's New York Daily News, following the latest mass shooting, which seems to now be considered commonplace in our nation. Depending on your definition of mass shooting, and isn't it an amazing thing that we live in a time where we're talking about definitions of mass shootings? Depending on your definition, there have been over 300 so far this year. That headline was a direct jab at the many presidential candidates who offer prayers. But no other contribution on the subject of gun violence, which so plagues our nation. I am sick of the unrelenting behavior that continues to claim the innocent lives of Americans, yet we choose to do nothing because of our sick love affair with guns. Friends, when is this insanity going to stop? When will elected leaders have the courage to finally take action? If I hear one more candidate suggest that if the victims had guns, this would not happen, I think I am going to scream. As the Daily News suggests, this is not about God intervening. This is about the American public, many of whom profess to be followers of Jesus, wising up to the reality of what is happening. Arming ourselves is not the solution. This nation represents only 5% of the world's population, yet has over 30% of the world's guns. Another way to look at this, there is a gun for every single woman, man, and child in this nation. As people of faith, we believe that living out of fear is not the path for followers of Jesus. If anything, it is time to say enough. This is indeed a moral outrage. This has to end. If ever there was a time when it feels like we were going down the rabbit hole in Alice in Wonderland, it is right now. Then again, when has there ever been a time in our human history when the human family has not inflicted atrocity against itself? We have a long history of not learning from past mistakes. The lust for power, our self-centeredness, greed, all of these things are alive and well and are a basis for the violence that we continue to see worldwide. Sadly, some of this is religiously motivated. Or rather, religion has allowed itself to be co-opted at the hands of politicians, using it as a tool for manipulation. What would Jesus be saying to us? What would Jesus be saying to Congress? Do our actions as a people focus on Jesus' instruction to love? How can we ever hope to find a thin place, that thing we're talking about this Advent season? How can we ever hope to find that place where heaven and earth converge? It's an old story. A story that is addressed by the prophetic writing of Isaiah. Isaiah was the prophet associated with the southern kingdom of Judah, and this was in the 8th century BCE. Now, if you recall the history that we've been talking about, the northern kingdom of Israel fell apart and was laid waste much sooner than the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was gone by about 723 BCE. The southern kingdom of Judah was not taken into exile until the 6th century BCE. Now, biblical scholars have long taught us that this book of Isaiah was not the writing of just one individual. There's a consensus that the first 34, maybe up through 39 chapters of the work are indeed attributed to the prophet of name, Isaiah. The remainder of this huge work has been associated with at least one, perhaps two other voices, if not more. Now, the big issue for us when we take a look at this work in its entirety is that the first portion of this prophetic utterance of Isaiah speaks of the judgment of Judah and its unfaithfulness. Chapter 39, for many readers, is the place where there's this final foreshadowing of the exile that is to take place with God's people. Well, it's starting with chapter 40, a portion of which we heard read this morning, our text for today, that the work of Isaiah changes directions, leading scholars to believe that it was written either during or following the exile of the people of Judah. And what began as a prophetic work that talked about doom and gloom being the outcome for an unfaithful people, it now morphs into a different kind of work that is providing comfort for a suffering people. They had lost everything, absolutely everything, which made the words of hope and comfort in this writing absolutely critical. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. God speaks tenderly to Jerusalem. So you see, the stage was being set by the prophet for an emerging messianic hope that there would be one who would come to redeem Judah. These were words that Isaiah wrote that spoke of great change. It would be as if crooked paths are now going to become straight highways, valleys. These trenches would now be made level, and rough places would no longer be rough. They would now be made smooth. In other words, the prophet was saying there would no longer be any obstacles to God being in the midst of the people. Nothing could get in the way of God's hope being revealed and lived out. And this was a vital message for the people who thought that they indeed had been abandoned by their God. The prophet was clear. Their plight had come about because of their own doing. And they were living the consequences of their actions. God did not prevent them from experiences that were results of their choices, because that was not in God's nature. The people, of course, had difficulty with that proposition, and on some level, I think, even the prophets had difficulty with that. You see, there was this need, and there continues to be this need, to project onto God a nature of judgment, that God had meted out justice and had designed the punishment. And when you think about it, it's just another way of we human beings not wanting to take responsibility for our actions. So now let's blame it on God and God's judgment. They were being punished by God as opposed to being in a place where they were experiencing the results of their behavior. There are those who still hold on to this kind of view of God. There are those who still preach a vengeful God who is quick to pass judgment or call upon God to pass judgment. But friends, I believe there is an extremely valid alternate view. And to state it simply, it is God who gives us the strength. It is God who gives us the grace, and it is God who gives us the support to help us navigate through those situations that we have created for ourselves. God does not inflict harm upon God's people, period. We human beings are more than capable of doing that on our own. Our God is one of hope, one of comfort, one who desires peace and goodwill for our human family. And while it's a concept that probably wouldn't have any meaning to the ancient prophet, the vision that is presented by Isaiah is not unlike that. I like to think of a thin place. It's a point in time where the regular rules no longer apply. The point where joy and justice flow unobstructed into our everyday existence. That's another way of looking at the mountains being made flat, the valleys being lifted up, the flock being cared for by the great shepherd. That's another way of describing a thin place. Well, it's easy for us to sit here on this second Sunday of Advent feeling indignation about what we see happening around us. And as we've all learned, indignation does little to affect change or help find and create thin places. Our indignation is easily set aside, it's forgotten about, until some other thing happens causing us another collective lament. As followers of Jesus, isn't there more we should do? So how might we work to create a sense that heaven and earth are coming together and are creating a thin place? Well, I believe it starts with the realization that there comes a time when the only appropriate response for a follower of Jesus is to present challenge. We have the ability to challenge our friends, our coworkers, our families, our elected leaders to address issues surrounding gun control. You see, I'm not sure it would ever be possible to convince Jesus that owning assault weapons designed to quickly and efficiently kill people is a basic human right. This is not about being anti-gun. It's about reason and the good of the community prevailing over the needs of irrational, loud-mouthed fear-mongers and their special interest groups. I guess I'm not mincing any words today, am I? Unless we provide challenge, direct challenge, through our conversation with others, where we contribute our money, where we withhold our money, how and who we vote for, with our letter writing, with our demonstrating, with our advocating different behavior from our leaders, why do we think change will happen? Yes, we have the ability to challenge, friends. It's a part of our faith tradition. The prophets, a great example, they were usually right in the face of the reigning monarchs. Jesus, when we think about his life, certainly spent a great deal of time in the face of moribund leaders who had lost sight of God's hope for the people. You see, where and when was it decided that virtuous Christians are ones who never rock the boat? That kind of indifference, friends, has allowed horrible things, including many past genocides, to take place far too many times in our human history. In order to effect the necessary change, we need to start by looking at ourselves and how, as a culture, we have become numb to violence. What do we think about that as followers of Jesus? Is it okay? Is it benign? What do you think? We follow the one who is called the Prince of Peace. And peace is something our world desperately, desperately needs. Are we claiming the power of the gospel to doing the work of creating thin places where peace abounds? Or are we a part of the problem? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.